Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Episode 36.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, hosted by Mark Gray. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Good. Mark Gray, slanging deals every day. Excellent, buddy. The two-time champ, Justin Bigelow. What's up, Justin?
What's going on? Soon to be three.
Soon to be three-time champ, top producer here at Dream Huge Realty. And myself, Pete Peterson. We don't always talk real estate. We love to share success stories from other entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and influencers. Hopefully, these interviews and stories will help to motivate and inspire you, the listeners, to dream huge. But today, we are talking real estate. I'm super excited for this one. We have Zach Leemaster, founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, the largest turnkey real estate provider in the world. That is www.renttoretirement.com, spelled T-O in between there, renttoretirement.com. He is a seasoned real estate investor who has accumulated a large portfolio of rental properties across multiple markets, including single family, multifamily, commercial, and new construction. Zach is a licensed optometrist who practices on a volunteer basis. Zach started investing in real estate while working as an optometrist and captain for the U.S. Air Force. This eventually allowed him to retire early from his career in medicine to be a professional investor by strategically investing in markets that maximize cash flow, appreciation, and equity. Renttoretirement.com. Mr. Zach Leemaster, how you doing, sir? Thanks for joining us.
I am doing outstanding, Pete. What a great intro and what great energy. I love that. I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Good, buddy. Thank you very much. We're excited as well. We were discussing pre-interview here, pre-podcast, about we are huge fans of the Bigger Pockets podcast, and they preach financial freedom through real estate investing.
Right.
And that's kind of what's coming to mind when I read through your intro there. But tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do at Rent to Retirement.
Absolutely, I'd love to. So Rent to Retirement, as you mentioned, we're a turnkey provider and operator. That's kind of one of those buzzwords that are thrown out quite a bit. So I always want to define what we mean when we say turnkey. Pete, so the first thing we do is market analysis. We want to identify the best locations throughout the U.S. to invest in from a tax, legal, you know, economic and population standpoint. And then we build our local teams and systems in those areas to offer consistent rental properties for our end investor. When we say turnkey, these are properties that we've either fully renovated or built, because about half of what we do is actually build to rent, new construction, lease, and professionally manage them for the client so they can be somewhat of a passive investor to easily diversify or scale their portfolio across different locations in the U.S. But we also take an intricate role with our investor to help them build a comprehensive business plan from a tax, legal, accounting, financing perspective, because they're building a business. I mean, we all know when you're investing in real estate, you truly are building a business, and there's a lot of different things that go into that. But as far as our own personal story, I mean, I, as you mentioned, started in healthcare. So my wife and I are both optometrists by education, went to school in Portland, Oregon. I was in the Air Force for 7 years after that, as I was on scholarship, so practicing optometry there. And then we moved out to Colorado, where we still are today, where we eventually went into private practice. But ultimately, we were investing in real estate that entire time, from when we started our professional careers in the Air Force. We got to the point, I mean, even the first house I bought was a duplex. I house hacked part of it, rented out the other half. I used a VA loan to buy it. And then we continually scaled up since then. Every single year, and this is about 15 years ago at this point, since we bought that first duplex, we've bought more and more real estate every single year, because that's been our goal, to consistently scale over time using the tax advantages of real estate. But we eventually got to the point where we were able to replace our active income from real estate investing. We retired from healthcare. We had a lot of friends and family that came to us and said, hey, we've seen what you've done in real estate. That's really cool. We want to do the same, but we don't have the time, the know-how, the energy. Can you help us start investing in real estate or diversify in some of these areas? And that was the birthplace of Rent to Retirement. many years ago, and you know, we've just continued to scale over time.
Man, what an amazing story. And I love your energy as well. And it seems like you guys are growing very quickly. And it sounds like you have built up a nice size portfolio of not only real estate, but investors as well, who trust you to go out there and get that return on their investment. And the better you do for them, the more they invest. So you have boots on the ground. You build actual teams, management teams in different markets, or how does that look?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this kind of started from us, you know, basically being investors ourselves in the markets that we strategically chose based on the opportunity in that market. And so it's very much connecting with, you know, rehabbers and contractors and property managers and insurance agents and brokers and everybody that you need on from a business perspective to be successful in the local market. So typically how the process looks is that we identify based on our market criteria, which I'm happy to talk about, but we identify an area that has opportunity and we go and build our own personal portfolio in that market. And through that, we at least at this point go into that market with the idea like we're going to test water some ourselves. We're going to get the systems figured out with the plan to ultimately scale to bring in other investors. I did at one point handle and own all the property management. We don't at this point because it makes more sense just to really partner with the local teams that are already in place operating at a high level. Maybe we can integrate some of our systems that we've seen work well in other areas into that management team. But it's really, yes, a boots on the ground team locally in an area that we've sourced and networked with to build confidence to bring our other investors in.
Okay. So what all markets are you in?
We are very active in the Midwest and Southeast. And of course, real estate, as everyone here knows, there's constant dynamic market shifts, but we like to be in areas that have things like landlord-friendly legislation, low taxes, population, and economic growth, high rental demand relative to home prices, diversity of industries, not just an area that's relying on, say, oil or gas, something like this. So generally speaking, in the areas that make sense from a cash flow perspective and appreciation standpoint, we want to be in the Midwest and Southeast. So a lot of the Midwestern markets we're very active in would be Ohio, Missouri, Indiana. Probably the majority of our business today is done in the Southeast, where we have a little bit more appreciation potential. Florida is probably our top market right now. We build and invest all throughout the state of Florida. We're very active in Alabama and some in Texas as well.
Excellent. You don't have anything in Mansfield, Ohio by chance, do you?
What are you looking for?
Well, that's where we're located. So I was just curious.
No, really, the area that we're really active in Ohio is going to be right outside of the, you know, kind of suburb area to Cleveland. So, I mean, yeah, we're still active in Cleveland, but, you know, Barberton and Akron, kind of just a solid kind of, I guess, bread and butter housing opportunity where you can still get decent returns on cash flow, even with the increasingly rising interest rates. But yeah, we've been very successful in those areas. I think we did about 200 houses there last year.
Wow. So what is your template when you go into these markets? Is it buy and flip? Is it buy and hold? Is it BRRRR? Is it buy and hold multifamily, buy and hold duplex, single family? What, or does that vary per market, or kind of, I mean, you mentioned bread and butter. What kind of is your bread and butter as far as setup?
We love single family and small multifamily. And while we participate in larger multifamily deals, sometimes we'll you know, syndicate those if needed. And we operate in the commercial space as well as short-term rentals as well. But for the turnkey business, our bread and butter is single family or small multi. And we like those asset classes because they seem to be very predictable, at least from what we've seen, especially single family, because those are properties that generally speaking have quality tenants. They tend to have a little bit longer occupancy time frame. We see, I guess this is depending on the market, but generally better appreciation on single family, better financing. You can put less money down, right? 20% versus 25% if you're talking conventional financing. But the big thing is that they're more liquid. We all know that as you scale your portfolio over time, often as you build equity through appreciation and debt reduction, it may make sense at some point in time to sell that property and 1031 it. And the single family and some of the small multifamily, you could sell to an investor or you could sell to a residential buyer, often who's going to pay the most for the property. So it makes it a very easy process to scale up. And I think that's kind of, and that's the same path that we followed, as I mentioned, you know, with cutting our teeth and building out our portfolio in the single family and small multi space. And as we gained our confidence and knowledge, we really just traded up. And we still invest in single family, small multifamily today, but the majority of our assets are in commercial real estate, just personally. But we didn't start there. We built our portfolio up through the single family and small multi, built equity through those and traded up, and also built up the confidence, also allowed us to have a track record with the banks to obtain the best financing. And I see that as a common path that a lot of people follow.
Excellent. Well, I see some wheels turning here, Justin and Mark. I see some wheels turning. What do you guys think about Zach's setup so far?
It's just the game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
It's just Monopoly.
The best board game of all time right there.
Start with the little ones and start stacking them up, trade them in for hotels.
Yeah, Red Hotel, that's right.
Yes, and not just on Baltic, but all over the market.
I mean,
and not just on Boardwalk, but everything in between.
And Monopoly, there should be like an advanced version where it's like hotels or houses, hotels, and then there should be like bigger stuff. There should be like four other ones.
We can 40 call units.
We can call it Monopoly Plus.
Yes.
Or Plus Plus.
You guys need to trademark that. And, yeah, get some large multifamily, industrial and some retail in there.
I like it. I love it. So, Zach, I mean, thank you for sharing your thoughts and your setup on all that. And we haven't even got to the part about, you know, what's in it for the investors. But you know, that's very interesting because we are all in real estate investors as well, and almost every real estate investor out there has started either with a single family or a duplex. Mm-hmm. I guess you mentioned scaling up. So before we jump to the investors, I want you to elaborate a little bit more on this if you could. How did you actually go from, okay, I've got a handful of duplexes, you know, you started by choosing one out of one market out of your area, or I guess how did your mindset shift to going from a local investor to growing to the size you are now?
Well, this has been an evolution over 15 years and, has definitely had its bumps in the road. And I think we all get the analysis paralysis and, you know, the fear and objections to investing in something else or a different market that holds us back. I mean, really what we found, I was stationed in North Dakota in the Air Force. And so there was rather limited opportunity to really scale a portfolio locally. And eventually, I mean, I invested there first with my probably first, I don't know, 12 or 15 units. But over time, I kind of decided that I'm not going to be here forever, first of all. And this is, you know, there's probably better opportunity in other markets where stronger population growth. And just as I became a more seasoned and savvy investor, I wanted to be in areas in the path of progress where there was higher returns. Gotcha. The same thing we do today. And so mm-hmm. it took a little bit of, I guess, time and faith to invest in some other areas. And we lost money on some probably the first two houses that we bought, Southside Chicago, D-class areas. The numbers looked good on paper, but man, they didn't perform like that. And so it's trial and error. And, you know, I think that's really kind of like the risk. It's not that we can remove all risk for our investors, because you're still buying an asset class that houses people. You know, you still need, even though a lot of people think turnkey and they think just completely passive. Well, it's still active to some degree. You still need to manage your property manager and you're still actively owning a real estate. It's just that, you know, we've done a lot of the heavy lifting and we have systems in place to do the best we can to set you up for success and limit the failures that we've already been through. But yeah, it's been an evolution over time. It really is just about building a local team. And sometimes you got to go through a few bad contractors or property managers to find a good one. But when you do find a good one, you hold on to them, you pay them appropriately. You build good rapport with them. It's very much a partnership. Some people think that management, they're working for you. And technically, while they are, it should be viewed as a partnership. Sure. You know, and I think that's really what's allowed us to be successful. And then we, you know, as we kind of figured out our systems, we just replicated it, right? We had systematic approach of, okay, how, this is how we vet property management. These are the standards of rehab that we want our crews to adhere to. And then we just replicated it to a different market. And, you know, that's really allowed us to scale that. Once we started investing out of state strategically, we allowed us to scale a portfolio quicker. We had some properties that appreciated really quickly. And, you know, we were able to trade those up. And that was what allowed us to really, I guess, take that next stepping stone into larger asset classes and be able to replace our active income is by investing out of state in these different areas.
Well, Zach, I really got to say, you are the epitome of the huge dreamer. I mean, you are dreaming huge.
Right.
I mean, you started in North Dakota and you started dreaming outside of your market and said, hey, there's some good stuff here, but I need to expand. I need to start expanding my vision here. And you just reached out to all those markets and really, really experienced some excellent growth. All right, so tell us about investors. So what type of investments are you offering? What type of rate of return? How does that look like? What can investor choose from when they're coming to you?
The typical avatar for our investor demographic that I think Turnkey resonates really well with is someone that is either a newer investor and they need a little bit of handholding getting started, someone who's new to investing out of state and just wants to tap into an immediate network and process that will set them up for success long term, someone that wants to be a passive investor, or someone who's an active investor and simply wants an easy way to tap into another market where maybe there's better opportunity to scale and diversify alongside what they're already doing in their investing journey. And so we have some investors that this is their first house, first out of state house that they purchased. We have some investors that are very, very successful developers or investors full time. I mean, that are doing some crazy cool stuff, but this is just a way for them to easily, you know, diversify and scale their portfolio alongside what they're doing. So we're happy to work with the whole spectrum of investors, depending on what their goals are. As far as the investment opportunities themselves, as I mentioned, it's mainly single family and small multi across the Midwest and Southeast. Typical price points could be between that $200,000 to $400,000 range. We generally want to be in like your middle B class or lower A class area where we have a good balance of still obtaining decent cash flow, but you're also attracting a quality tenant. You have strong appreciation and lower vacancy percentages and things like that. I think that's kind of the sweet spot of where we operate. I would say the average return on investment, I mean, generally speaking, we were able to achieve an 8 to 10 cap. Of course, if you're using financing and looking at a cash on cash return, the interest rates are going to limit that a little bit. But still, I think there's very attractive returns for anyone that is letting interest rates hold them back right now. I would encourage you to look at a global long-term holding perspective in real estate. Interest rates are just a metric to look at your pro forma, you know, and at that point in time. And really where people become successful in real estate is just consistently taking action and building a portfolio over time. I mean, we bought the most real estate we have in our entire investing career this last year with high interest rates.
Sure.
But we did it from a tax perspective, from a long-term perspective, because we know that, you know, it still made sense for our investing goals and our criteria. But we do a lot outside of just the typical single family and small multi. We have short-term rental options, educational opportunities, creative financing, you know, coaching programs, syndication opportunities. You know, we do a lot in a lot of different sectors. Our goal is to add value and education to anyone that comes through our network, regardless of kind of what their goals are.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. So, and thank you for that. So if the average investor comes to you and they're buying, let's say $200,000, let's just for ease of numbers here, and they're going to need to bring the amount to cover the down payment on that, or how does that look for the investor?
I would say it is obviously on an individual basis. We run the pro formas based on a conventional type of loan product. And especially right now, we have all sorts of incentives to buy rates down and closing cost credits to help with where the financing world is right now and still help the investor to make sense of the numbers. But yeah, I would say the average person is looking at a conventional type loan, 20% down on single family, 25% down on on multifamily. We have many investors that have, you know, want to invest through their self-directed IRA or solo 401k, or entrepreneurs that maybe can't qualify for conventional loans. And so, of course, we have plenty of non-conventional lenders and other creative options for those investors as well. But I would say, yeah, the average person, if you just need to know how much capital you need out of pocket, you know, maybe 30,000 on the low end, 25, 30K of a down payment and closing costs to get into kind of that first Midwestern rental.
Sure. So $30,000 to $40,000invested in, and then you're going to have a 8% to 10% rate of return per year. And then you also have the pay down, you have the appreciation, you have the tax benefits, and eventually you have the sale, correct?
Yeah, I think what we find with a lot of clients is that the average holding time is usually between that 4 to 6 year period of time. And it obviously depends on the person's goals. But the idea here, I think, for most people investing in real estate is to build some sort of residual passive income, potentially replace their active income, make this a retirement picture and create a legacy for your family and supplemental retirement. So, it's about building a portfolio and scaling over time. So often what we found is that over a period of maybe 4 to 6 years, you've built up some appreciation in the house, the tenant has paid the loan down for you, you have enough equity that maybe it makes sense to actually sell the property and 1031 it, where you can take the initial down payment plus the grown equity you have over time to buy 2 to 3 more properties without injecting any more capital. I mean, that's the same exact thing we did. And I think that's a very creative way to be able to, you know, scale your portfolio. And that just compounds over time. I always encourage people to look at the global picture of all the ways that we earn money in real estate. Often we find the newer investors just focusing on cash flow.
Sure.
And while that is attractive because it's the most immediately tangible item, really where wealth is built in real estate long term, and we've seen this as we've become more experienced investors, is through the ability to use leverage take your money further and diversify it and scale your portfolio, but also the appreciation, the debt reduction, the tax benefits and depreciation. I mean, personally, our entire investing strategy right now is built around the tax benefits. We take a lot of our active money and we put it into long-term assets, and most of those commercial at this point that we run cost segregation studies on, and, you know, offset our active income. And that just gives us more money to invest versus giving it to Uncle Sam. So
sure.
Smart.
Yeah. And you mentioned the interest rates, and I'm glad you did. And I just was preaching this last week, and I always preach this, actually. People get too hung up on the interest rate. They get too hung up on the price. Both things, yeah, you need to be aware of and you need to crunch numbers on. But yeah, let's think about the big picture. If you wait on the sidelines for interest rates to come down, for prices to come down, you're missing out on potentially years of mortgage pay down. You're missing out on years of appreciation. You're missing out on that cash flow. And you're also missing out on those tax benefits you mentioned. So, I look at it as like a dollar cost averaging situation, right? Just always be buying in any market.
The most important aspect that people are missing out on by waiting is the education and the experience, because that's what's going to make you a successful investor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, Mark is a partner with me, and I had to kind of tell him, dude, we need to buy this one. Are you ready? Let's just do it. And he was kind of waiting around like, dude, we got to do it. So we finally bought it.
Mark, is that true?
Yeah.
So are we going to do this thing or not?
I'm the numbers guy, so I run the numbers about 100 times before I actually make the jump.
Yeah.
I love that you said always be buying. I mean, that's our strategy, because there is always a way to make the deal make sense. I mean, interest rates are just a number on paper. And it's just a point in time, right?
Yeah.
And so if that means you need to put more money down, then so be it. I mean, if that means you need to have a plan to refinance in the future, or, you know, whatever the case is, I mean, does that adjust your cash flow numbers? Sure, it does. But does that mean the deal doesn't make sense? I mean, what's the alternative? What else are you going to do with your capital? What else are you going to invest in? In a high inflationary environment like this, you got to be doing something with your money. Because if it's sitting in the bank, you're losing. And that's always the case, right? So you always got to be investing, because, I mean, while we may have, with a higher interest rate, we may have a 2 or 3% less percent return on a cash on cash return. But, you know, in inflationary environments, it causes, you know, rents to go up often in many markets. And in many cases, price points as well, regardless of where the interest rates are at. And then you have all these additional tax benefits. So the real rate of return, I mean, I think people, if they're really focused on interest rates, they're probably a newer investor that doesn't really fully understand the long-term aspect of it, because mm-hmm. we know just in our own experience that people that are really successful in real estate, they're seeing this as actually an opportunity right now to come in when everyone else is fearful. And we've interviewed a lot of people that are really successful in real estate, and no one has come to me and said, oh, we were lucky and just timed the market, or we sat around and waited for the right time. Right. But everyone says we're consistently at all times in all market cycles, we're investing in real estate. And that's what it's about.
That's right.
Yeah, the interest rates are the cover of the book.
Right.
You can't judge the cover of the book.
Right. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Right. I like can't that. Do it. And that's the interest rate, and that's the novice. Mm-hmm. That is the person without information.
Well, what's tough too is, I mean, and you mentioned, you know, a lot of new investors focus on cash flow, but that's because they have to. You know, when we all started out there, you need your first couple to cash flow pretty strong. But as you build your portfolio, you can focus more on maybe better neighborhoods, maybe better appreciation, and with a little less cash flow.
You start betting on location. I did it when I bought my duplex. I knew it was. I told nobody. I didn't tell you, Pete, because you were a threat. And I got it, and nobody else has
it. I wouldn't have bought it from you if I knew you were interested.
You would have sold it to somebody else.
No, I would have let you have it.
You would have found the buyer.
I would do that to my friends or my clients.
We didn't know each other at the time. But I kept that because I knew the location and everything was going to be high leverage opportunity in the future.
Yeah.
I'll never sell unless I have to.
And I think, and you gentlemen would probably attest to this if you're looking back at just your portfolio as well, but you know, often when we evaluate a performer, we're looking at year one cash flow. And I also think people are so focused on year one. If you're investing in the path of progress where you have people coming into the market, you have development and transportation and jobs, you know, these are areas that are going to demand higher rents over time. Rents are sticky. Rents typically don't go down. They may stagnate for a little bit, but generally speaking, the cost of living is going up throughout nationwide, right? And so but your mortgage doesn't change if you get a fixed rate. So, you know, I think that's one thing that we've been very pleasantly surprised with is we're buying stuff for the tax benefits, like we talked about, leverage and whatever else. But even if we have a property that has less cash flow year one, year two, three, four, with having a plan for rental increases, these properties are performing well above what they were in year one. And that's an important thing to factor in that. Also, again, that time is on your side. The sooner you get started and actively invest.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Year one is tough.
And you can't judge it as a get-rich-quick scheme.
No.
Real estate is never quick.
Right. And year one, and I counsel everyone that as well. Year one, you probably inherited someone's bad tenant. The rents are too low. The property hasn't been fixed up in years. It's just the common situation of landlords just looking to get out.
Yeah.
So year one, you got to go in. You got to fix it up. You got to put a better tenant in there. Man, if you cash flow even a little bit on year one, that's a bonus. But yeah, if you got the long term in mind, year two can look a lot different.
And that's the key. The moment you're long term, the moment everything else doesn't matter. And that allows you to act.
Right.
You don't want to hold yourself back because you're going to always be buying.
Always be buying. That's today's motto. Always be buying, baby.
I love it.
All right. So what's an interesting fact or story most folks may not know about Zach Lemaster?
I'm a man of mystery. Let's put me on the spot here. I don't know. I guess so. I mean, I have the background in healthcare. You know, that's kind of unique. Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of my colleagues or people now are like, oh, you know, I'm glad you figured out that optometry wasn't right for you or that wasn't a good fit. And it really frustrates me when people say that because it's like, okay, no, that wasn't it. It's I still enjoy it. In fact, my wife and I are very active in humanitarian work. I still keep an active license and I work in optometry on a volunteer basis. I'm very passionate about that. But real estate was something that allowed us to take our create a lifestyle that we would not have had otherwise and actually be more impactful with our humanitarian efforts. So, but you know, since we've already covered that, let me see. North Dakota was an interesting time where we were, and when I first started, I actually started wholesaling there as well as acquiring my rentals, because while I was in the military, we earned a decent income. It wasn't great. I didn't have an ability to scale up and have a bunch of extraneous capital to buy more rentals. And so what I did was actually go out and wholesale. And there are what we ended up doing is wholesaling quite a bit of farms, and we inherited some interesting properties. There's this one property that had, I think, over 100 squirrels in it. And this was in Detroit Lakes. It's kind of a little bit of a destination location. We actually ended up wholesaling that one in 2 weeks for $50,000. Wow. So the best wholesale we did, but it was a condemned house that was possessed by squirrels. And
dangerous.
Yeah. Did anybody have a 22 handy?
We needed more than that. But we actually went back with hazmat suits because no one from the city would go in, and we couldn't even hire an exterminator to take on that job. And so we had to be in hazmat suits personally relocating and trapping squirrels. That was an interesting.
Sounds like a Hitchcock movie or something.
Oh, yeah, the birds. The
invasion of the squirrels.
The squirrels.
Yeah, that's right.
The dogs are going to love it.
Yeah. Love it. And they probably, they didn't, you would have kept them in there, but they probably didn't pay very good rent.
You know, we bonded after a few days of having to, live together in that area. But yeah, they were delinquent. We had to evict them.
Right. So, I understand. Yeah. Zach, how do you hope to inspire others with your story, man?
I think hopefully, as one of you gentlemen mentioned earlier about just taking action, I think that's really what it boils down to. Real estate, I mean, we're super passionate about real estate as an asset class. It's the only investing that we do. We don't do any other investing outside of real estate. It's because we know it. I think as Warren Buffett has said, invest what you know and nothing more. But that's been the case for us, not to say it's right for everyone, but I really think there's a lot of people out there that, they're sitting on the sidelines or they're hesitant to buy that first investment property or buy that first out-of-state property. And not everything's going to work out in the real estate space and investing. It's just the way it is. But you will always learn something. One of my main mentors always told me, in real estate, you either learn or you make money, because he refused to say that you lost money. But that's what that meant. But hopefully someone can listen to this that's been sitting on the sidelines, that maybe is a little bit hesitant, and just use our story to help inspire them to take that next action step, because it's all about the first rental. And then it's about the next one. And while I think your first one or two rentals are actually not important financially, they're most certainly important mentally and emotionally. And so it's all about taking action.
Yeah, like Tom Brady said, his favorite ring is always the next one. Same with the rentals. My favorite rental is the next one.
That's right. Never settle, always be buying. All right, my man. Now, if you got five more minutes, we're going to hit you with the huge four questions, and we'll let you get out of here. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
All right. Ooh, yeah, it's time for the Macho Man to bring out the huge four. Hit him with the huge four, Mark.
All right. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think I would have started sooner and been more aggressive earlier on, as most everyone could probably say that. Put that fear to the side and take action, as we talked about before.
Just jump in. All right. What was your biggest failure? What'd you learn from it?
Our biggest failure was probably partnering with people too quickly that we shouldn't have been in bed with, and when we didn't necessarily need to partner. And so I guess the advice with that and what we learned was that when you're looking to partner with someone, make sure they are complementary for you to be a good partner. Pick up their strengths, complement your weaknesses, that you are aligned in your long-term goals, and that it's someone that you can actually stand doing business with. Because I think too many people jump into partnerships too early that end poorly if they would have just spent a little bit more time dating before they got married.
Yeah, good advice. Mm-hmm. What are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
I think for us, finding a network of like-minded people. Of course, it took a long time to find good contractors and property managers, but resources, connecting with the right people. I mean, gentlemen like yourself that just get it. They know the investing game, local RIA meetups, online forums like Bigger Pockets and Sources. Just connect with right people that are going to support your goals and endeavors, not be the naysayers that aren't investors anyways. or the people that talk at Chicken Little's talking about the sky is falling. Connect with the right people and surround yourself with people in the place you want to be in.
Awesome.
That's the truth.
Yep. What are two books that have inspired you?
Man, I'm so back to the Kiyosaki. I mean, if anyone hasn't done the Rich Dad Poor Dad Cashflow Quadrant, 100% have to do that. The Purple Bible, just a way to think about money. Also, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller is one that's really been great for us. And from a business perspective, as we've grown our business, we like the E-Myth, the Entrepreneurial Myth, or the E-Myth Revisited by, I believe, Michael Gerber.
Yes, great book.
I've read
well.
That one.
Mm-hmm. Those are all fabulous books.
The E-Myth that, you know, I've been doing this 6 years, and you know, about year three, he gives out the stat, and I start really clinching to that stat. I'm like, that's not going to be me. Yeah, I ain't going to be the third year failure. And that book really helped
me. You're committed then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. All right. Well, that is awesome. Thank you, Zach Leemaster, founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, the largest turnkey real estate provider in the world, renttoretirement.com. Zach, how can folks follow and or contact you?
I think the website is the first place to start. It has all sorts of information about us, everything we do, the markets we operate in, turnkey inventory and investment opportunities to look at. It has links to all of our social media. The first thing we want to do with anyone that's interested to learn more about our organization is to schedule a free consultation with one of our investment strategists, learn about your investment goals and criteria, and hopefully offer value and information that will help you be a better investor, regardless of what path you're on. So renttoretirement.com is the best place to go.
Man, beautiful.
Before we go, were you in San Diego at BPCon?
I was, yeah. I was, we were the main sponsor for the event.
Yeah.
I got a chance to speak on stage a little bit. I did a creative financing panel with Pace Morby. We had a lot of fun there. I think we had about 15 of our team members out there.
Wow.
Yeah, Mark was there.
I was there.
Fantastic. Did you stop by our booth, Mark? Did you say hi? Giving away a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. It was a blast, man. I had a really good time.
Good deal. I think next year is at Orlando. Is that what I remember they said?
Yeah, I already bought my tickets.
Good man. We'll see you there then.
We're going to have to make it next year, Biggie.
We're going to have to do the podcast live from Orlando.
Yeah, love it.
They had a great studio set up that anyone could really use. They had a nice backdrop. I know that we recorded a lot of stuff while we were there, so... Make it a team trip. Do it.
That would be cool. Let's just get everybody in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, look, this started because of you. This podcast is inspired by the Bigger Pockets setup.
That's right. It's true. It's all coming full circle. All right, my man, Zach, you're a busy guy. Like I said, I appreciate your time. Zach Leemaster, founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement. Check it out online, renttoretirement.com. Thank you very much, sir.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast with Mark Gray, Justin Bigelow, and myself, Pete Peterson. Please remember to review, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules. Work hard, never give up, and dream huge.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.